is a Sonic Session. Another live-to-digital performance in the Booster Juice Listener Lounge from Sonic 102.9. Enjoy the acoustics. They look good on you.
Welcome, Internet. Welcome you. This is Sonic 102.9's Booster Juice Listener Lounge. Joining us today, Australian singer-songwriter, one who just, he had a budding career as a football player, earned a law degree, and has the kind of thick, lustrous hair you only get by making a pact with the devil. Vance Joy, everyone. You seem like a pretty laid-back guy, but there's got to be some pretty serious work ethic to... build up some accomplishments like that by age 25.
Yeah, I think I'm a hard worker. Like, depends what it is. Like, when I was working for other people, like, if I'd always slack off. So when I was working in the bottle shop, I'd just find ways. I was like the most unmotivated guy in the world. So when I'm doing something that I've got kind of, I guess, passion for and a bit of responsibility, then I work hard. But when it's like, can you make sure that all the bottles are facing up and perfectly flush? I'm like... Yeah, we can do that. And I'll just like get one line of bottles. And he's like, there's only like one bottle in each shelf. So, yeah, I think I work pretty hard, but not crazy.
There seem like pretty diverse interests, too. I mean, sending people to jail as a lawyer, singing happy, fun songs, or, crushing people's skulls with a helmet on.
Yeah. I never thought of those things that's not the way I'll describe them, but I want to be a lawyer. I want to send people to jail. Oh, but I think and with the football thing, we didn't actually get helmets. That's how crazy that sport is, that you don't actually have any protection. It's just like completely full contact, but no padding or anything. So I don't know. I did a bunch of stuff, and I can't even remember the question because the thing fell, and then I was talking about.
Well, how was Folk Fest? I didn't get to catch the performance, but I heard rave reviews.
Yeah, it was amazing. It's like the first festival that we've played where people have been really chilled out and sitting down and like super peaceful, which is nice because my songs are pretty relaxed and acoustic, and so it's great to play at a festival where everyone's like frothing and like jumping around, but it's kind of cool just to play to people that are sitting down, super engaged and listening and relaxed.
Well, you've got a pretty hectic tour schedule for the summer. I mean, the festival circuit and that kind of thing. Is it difficult to sort of play in that environment where, everybody's wasted and they're like, woo! You come out with a ukulele.
I think it's also nice to play to people that are on drugs and and they're just like, this is so good. I don't even know what's going on, because they're giving you so much energy that you can't help but just be buzzed by that.
Well, we're so excited to hear you perform for us here. Why don't we get to some music? What Sure. are you going to play for us?
The first song I'm going to play is called From Afar.
You told me, boy, look the other way. Told me, boy, hide your hands, 'cause that's not the way. Yeah, that's not the way. Are that? It's just not the way that friends behave. Are that? It's just not the way that friends behave. Oh no. You line me up across the room. Two falling sparks, one will and fool. And I always knew that I would love you from afar. And you told me, boy, look the other way. Told me, boy, bite your tongue. Well, I've been living on the crumbs of your love, and I'm starving now. And that will be the way that we remain. Or that will be the way that we were. across the room. Two fallen sparks, one will and fool. And I always knew that I would love you from afar. You line me up across the room. Two falling sparks, one will and fool. And I always knew that I would love you from afar. Shouldn't come as a surprise. What I'm feeling now. It shouldn't come as a surprise. You got these darling hazel eyes. Ooh, it shouldn't come as a surprise. What I'm feeling, what I'm feeling now. It shouldn't come as a surprise. What I'm feeling now. It shouldn't come as a surprise. What I'm feeling now. It shouldn't come as a surprise. What I'm feeling now.
Thank you.
Handsome, talented. It's like looking into a goddamn mirror. Vance Joy, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. Is this your first trip to Canada?
It's not. It's actually my third. I love it. So of the places I've been in Canada, the places that have stuck out have been Vancouver, Edmonton, and Montreal, just because I've been to those three places a few times. And first time I came here, actually, I went to the Artery and played there, small show, and I went and bought a pair of pants.
Were they for him? Did you drop your guitar again?
Just to not follow up on, but I went and bought these pants here last time. It was about a year ago, and I went into this lovely shop, and it was this beautiful array of clothing. And I saw these pants, and I was like, these are really nice pants. Like, I should get some nice pants while I'm here in Edmonton. And the guy was so lovely. The top of my beanie had fallen off, the little bonbon. And he picked it up, and he's like, I have some sewing stuff here. I can sew this on for you. And I was like, thank you so much. So he sewed the top of my beanie on, and then I was like waiting around, and I was like, these are nice pants. And I tried them on, and I was like all in the glow of how nice this guy was and how nice the shop was, that I was like, can I have these pants? And he's like, yeah. And I like went to the cash register, and I paid like $500 for pants. It's like one of those shops where they don't put the price tags on the stuff. So that's my memory of Edmonton.
What's the best part of touring in a faraway land? I was looking at your website. You're all over the place this year.
Yeah. The best part is probably those little windows of time where you just kind of immerse yourself in the place. And I haven't really, like, a lot of fun with my band and my sound man, JD, and manager, Rachel. So we're all kind of a crew, and we're having fun. That's probably the best bit, just mucking around and kind of feeling free and happy and cruisy.
Well, Vance Joy is that sort of like your sort of artist name, like Known to Plume? Is that sort of the band name, the project name? I realize it's your grandpa's name, is that right?
No, actually, it is a grandfather's name, but he's a grandfather that exists in a book called Bliss by Peter Carey. And it was a book I was reading at the time. I was writing songs, and I wanted to have an alias to perform under. And so I saw that name, and it kind of stuck out to me, and I used it.
What was it about that character that you sort of connected with?
I like the sound of the name, firstly, and then the character in the story is like a storyteller, and he tells stories to his family, gets all the grandkids around and tells them stories. And I liked that idea of, as a songwriter, you kind of tell stories as well. So it made sense to me.
Now, how did you get into music exactly? You know, with football and all that kind of thing, actually studying apparently in high school, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
How did you find the time, and how did you fall into it?
My dad kind of was really wanted me to learn guitar at least, and because he kind of regretted never learning an instrument, so he got me a guitar when I was in year 9, which is, I was like 14 years old, and it was an electric guitar, and he said, you're going to learn this, you got a lesson in a couple of weeks, and I was like, oh, I don't want to go to lessons. And then I started learning covers of like Metallica and Blink-182 and like, and that's just, I think that's how a lot of kids start, like 14-year-old kids, like they want to play like the hardcore stuff. And then like,
I'm going to put those two at the top of my list of songs I did not expect Vans Joy to cover here today. Those two right there. What's the next song you're going to play for us?
The next song is a song I wrote on New Year's Day, and it's called Georgia.
It's another exclusive live to digital performance from the Sonic Listener Lounge. We made it just for you.
She is something to behold, elegant and bold. She is electricity running to my soul. And I could easily lose my mind, the way you kiss me awake each time, calling me to come back to bed, singing Georgia on my mind. And I, lips generous and warm, you build me up like steps. Eyes innocent and wild, remind me what it's like. Oh, oh, oh. And I could easily lose my mind, the way you kiss me awake each time, calling me to come back to bed, and I'm burning up again, I'm burning up. And I never understood what was at stake, I never thought your love was worth its weight. Well, now you come and gone, I finally worked it out, I worked it out. I never should have told you, I never should have let you see inside. Don't want any trouble in your mind, won't you let it be? I never should have told you, I never should have let you see inside. Don't want any trouble in your mind, won't you let it be? I never should have told you, I never should have let you see inside. Don't want any trouble in your mind, won't you let it be? I never should have told you, I never should have let you see inside. Don't want any trouble in your mind, won't you let it be? And I could easily lose my mind, the way you kiss me awake each time, calling me to come back to bed, and I'm burning up again, I'm burning up. And I never understood what was at stake, I never thought your love was worth its weight. Well, now you come and gone, I finally worked it out, I worked it out, oh I.
It's a Vance Joy Sonic session. Now, I was reading, you're 25 years old. You just signed a 5-album deal? That is in freaking incredible.
Yes, crazy.
Yeah, like you've kind of carved out a real career. For, most people at 20, how many of you knew what you wanted to do at 25? Anyone? No one, right? That's how did you get there from you know, picking up a ukulele at a pawn shop?
Yeah, I mean, God, it's hard to think. I think really it starts with songwriting, and you just the first song that I wrote that I was proud of was a song called Winds of Change, and it's the first song that we put on the album. And it's I think once you write something that you're pretty proud of and it's kind of coherent, that was like a turning point. And I was like, I want to keep writing songs and I want to see what's possible. And I didn't really have any goals beyond just I want to write songs because I love doing it and I want to play them for people. And I guess if people come, that'd be awesome. And then I had about four or five songs that I was really happy with. I went and recorded Riptide in a studio with a friend, just kind of on a day. We had a day, we paid for a day, recorded it, which is pretty much the same sound that is on that recording. And from there, it kind of, you know, I had a call from a manager a couple of weeks later, and he said, "Are you serious about music?" And I said, "Yeah, I really want to do music." And he's like, "Let's start like thinking about a plan, you know." And so he said, "You know, you might want to get a band together. Do you want to, you know, play a show in a few months to kind of launch it?" And so there was that, and then the song somehow got in the hands of an A&R guy at Atlantic. And my manager came to me just after we'd finished recording the EP, and he said, "There's this guy over in America, and he's heard this, you know, your songs, and he wants to fly you over to New York to play for Atlantic." And I was like, "Okay, cool. I'll just tell mum and dad that I'm leaving." And it was like, it really was something like, it was kind of weird. It was like, "I'm leaving. I'm going to New York next week." And they're like, "How long are you going for?" I'm like 3 days. I'll be back. So it was, we just like,
just let me finish the bar exam first.
It was just like, I'm not going to sleep for four or five days, which was cool and totally a whirlwind experience. And I came back on the plane and I was like, whoa, this is like such a bizarre, surreal little world that I've just walked into. And over about 6 months after that, I kind of, you know, got to know Stefan, the guy at the label, and we kind of worked it out. But yeah, it was completely, what a contrast to what I'd been used to.
Well, you mentioned when you were younger, you know, you sort of did the Blink-182 Metallica phase, which pretty much everyone, you know, goes through. What kinds of things do you listen to now, and what were you sort of listening to when you kind of started moving in this musical direction?
I think I probably, the stuff that kind of probably resurfaced when I was writing songs that I was kind of feeling like felt like me and was my natural voice was stuff that I'd listened to when I was younger, like my parents introduced me to, like a singer called Paul Kelly from Australia. You know, I don't know if it, where it fits in, but there's, my dad used to like listen to a lot of Ben Folds and a band called The Whitlams and The Pogues and The Police. I don't know, all that kind of stuff is still music that I would listen to. I think at the moment I'm listening to like the new Beck album, and I love Feist. I think they're just like great songwriters, you know, lasting songwriters, and they're the people that I'm attracted to, I suppose, like the music that attracts me.
If you could pick a song from another artist that you could claim as your own, go, "No, I wrote this," which would it be?
I just get the whole John Lennon catalog. That's like the biggest, that's like, it's like Shakespeare. I'd be like, "Yeah, I claim all of Shakespeare's works." It's like, you can't do that.
I read somewhere that the song Riptide, you actually started writing it back in 2008?
Yeah.
Why did it take so long to finish? And how did you know you had something special?
I didn't at start, because I started writing in 2008 and I just had that. And I was playing it on guitar and I just had the first two lines and I just kind of shelved it. You know, I thought, this is such a simple song, it's not going to work, you know. I don't even know what I was thinking. I just disappeared. And then 4 years later, I was walking around with my ukulele, this isn't like a nice ukulele. Like that ukulele that I picked up that you mentioned was like this piece of crap that I attached a little pickup on, and it was like had duct tape on it and stuff. It was pretty badass. It just sounds so bad that you can't take it on tour, but I wish I could, like, I'd be like, yeah, I'm like legit, like
punk rock ukulele. I like it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then I wrote that riff. I wrote this. And I was like, da 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 da. And then that made me write the melody for the chorus. And once I had that, it's like took 2 days, you know, like the words came to me. And when it happened, I remember driving home on the freeway back from uni. And like I just had worked out the lyrics for the chorus, like the you gone and sang the words wrong. And I remember just singing in my car and being like, this is like, this is good, like it kind of fits and it makes sense. And yeah, that's how it kind of was born, like 4 years after its first kind of moment.
You know, there's kind of a standout lyric in that song, and I don't know why exactly it's a standout, but Michelle Pfeiffer, and I go, did he just say Michelle Pfeiffer? Hmm. He did. How did that come about? How did that sort of make its way into the song?
I think, I don't know, yeah, it's like this weird, sometimes you're in a song and it kind of has this weird atmosphere in your head, like you're like, the world of this song, what does this feel like? And you kind of have an image in your head, and I guess other people have their own images when they listen to it, but I don't know, I just had this kind of character in my head, a girl, and it was, you know, she's got ambitions maybe of, you know, making it big, and she's destined for the screen, and I guess in my own experience, a woman that kind of would have stood out to me and was the embodiment of like sexiness and attitude was Michelle Pfeiffer from Batman Returns, when she comes home and loses her marbles and like smashes a voice recording thing and pours, she like drinks the milk and it's like all over her.
No, she sent you an email or anything like a still got it.
I wish she would. I wanted to send me a sassy email being like, I heard your song. It's okay.
You know what? We're going to send out the tweet. We're going to try and get Michelle Pfeiffer in touch with you. We'll see. Not like I have her phone number or anything. I sort of made it sound that way. I didn't intentionally do that. You're going to play Riptide for us?
Pleasure. Yeah, it's been fun.
It's another exclusive live to digital performance from Sonic's Booster Juice Listener Lounge. We know you've got a hankering.
To Michelle Pfeiffer that you've ever seen, a lady running down to the riptide, taken away to the dark side. I wanna be your left hand man. I love you when you're singing that song, and I got a lump in my throat, cause you gone sang the words wrong. A lady running down to the riptide, taken away to the dark side. I wanna be your left hand. I love you when you sing that song, and I got a lump in my throat, cause you gone and sang the words wrong, yeah. I got a lump in my throat, cause you gone and sang the words wrong.
Thank you.
That guy's got a busy, busy schedule. Thank you so much for being here. That was incredible.
Thank you. That was great.
Catch this interview and other off-air highlights in this week's Lane Mitchell Show podcast, free on iTunes and at sonic1029.com.